Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Merry Christmas and good afternoon, and thanks so much for tuning in to Nation Radio. For the next 2 hours, it's Oilers past, present, and future, plus the biggest NHL stories of the week. And we're delighted to have you along on what is another gorgeous afternoon in Edmonton. I don't know what we're doing right, but let's keep doing it. This has been a spectacular winter so far, and it's going to be a little bit of a white Christmas, but beautiful blue skies and nice temperatures in Edmonton, and hopefully good weather where you are, no matter where you are. Very busy afternoon. We'll have Peter Labardius by later on today from Future Considerations and other parts of hockey. Peter will talk about the World Junior Championships, the 2012 draft, and more. Jason Greger from the Jason Greger Show right here on Team 1260 every weekday afternoon. We'll talk about all the hard work that's been done helping hands through the Christmas season and the fundraising that's been done for the Christmas Bureau, and we'll talk Oilers as well with Jason. Oilers won a big game here the other day against the Minnesota Wild. That doesn't happen often. Kent Wilson from Flames Nation will join us. Kent will give us the latest on a surging Flames team. I hate to say that, but it's true. And as I get to talk to Kent every couple of weeks, it seems as though I'm not as angry at the Flames, which I'm hoping to to build that anger back up after Christmas time. It must be the time of the season or something like that. Jerome McGinley is close to 500 goals. We'll talk about that. Corey Pronman from Hockey Prospectus will join us in just a few minutes. Corey will give us the inside scoop on the draft eligibles at the World Juniors, and I'm going to ask all of our guests today who they think is going to win the gold medal at the World Juniors, and I think you'll be surprised depending upon who you believe will win the World Juniors this year. And Aaron Vickers, also from Future Considerations, knows a lot about the draft and the World Juniors, and we'll talk to him as well before 2 o'clock today. So that's the guest lineup. Things that we're going to talk about, well, the Oilers won again. It's been a while, but they were kind of on and off. It's sort of like a stop-start the last few weeks for the Oilers, but winning against Minnesota is a big deal. It's news anytime. The Wild had some injuries, but credit to the Oilers. They laid down the law early, skated to a fairly easy victory. And Jordan Eberle, he just keeps exceeding expectations. I really don't know who to compare him to anymore. When he was a rookie, we talked about him having 20 to 25 goal potential. He scored 18 as a rookie despite missing several games. This season, he has 15 at Christmas time. And so the early comparables led to Joey Mullen, and now maybe we're talking about someone else again. He is unbelievable in close. Very quick hands, great release. He's scoring from areas where snipers, the bossy types, the Hull types score. So Stu McGregor deserves a monument for that pick. I mean, it was in the early 20s of the first round when he got Jordan Eberle, and that may end up being the best pick he ever makes, and that includes Hall and Nugent Hopkins, who obviously were one overall, and you have a little higher expectations. I wonder about Alish Hemsky's future in Edmonton. I don't know if you read it or not, but fairly connected guy in the city. Jim Matheson has an article in the Journal today. Hemsky on the move is the question, and he talks a lot about the fact that, you know, Alish Hemsky at one time was the skilled player on the Oilers amongst the forwards. Now he's got some company, Nugent Hopkins, Eberle, Hall, and, you know, if he's not going to get big-time power play time, if he's not going to be, you know, playing better than he is right now, and if he's hurt, do you sign that guy? And as I said, Matty's, you know, he's a connected guy, and he says in the article that he thinks it's time to maybe move on here. And he also says if Hemsky is traded to any team, it'll definitely be to a contender or a team that has to make the playoffs, even if only for a round, to make some money for the owner. And you remember when the Atlanta Thrashers, for instance, made a couple of trades in their history to you know, when they gave up Braden Coburn to Philadelphia in one of those trades to get into the playoffs 1 year. So Matty's talking about that. He says the Red Wings are for sure in the picture, and he suspects the Predators, dying for some offense, the Penguins, and the New York Rangers are in the mix too, but that we shouldn't expect a Dustin Penner return because, and he's right, Penner had an extra year on his contract, so the Kings paid more. This might be a draft pick, maybe a first rounder or something along those lines. That's me, not Matty, saying that, but that's something to look forward to. And a little bit of a changing of the guard, I think, when Jim Matheson says it, then you have to take it very seriously, because it's not like the Oilers just send him the information, but he's pretty good at reading the tea leaves, and that is a change in direction from what we've heard in the past. Now, be looking forward to hearing Alish Hemsky's view on that, because up until now, he's always said that he's a guy who wants to stay in Edmonton, but you know what? Things are changing. Nikolai Habibulin has remained healthy and consistent through the season's first half. I think maybe that fast start has obscured what is turning into a quality season for the veteran. He's tied for sixth overall in the NHL for save percentage, has 11 wins on what is an inconsistent team. And for me anyway, if you're talking comeback player of the year, Nikolai Habibulin has to be in the conversation. And speaking of, you know, awards, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, at this point I would say, is the odds-on favorite for the Calder Trophy. The Oilers organization has never had a Calder winner. That's an unbelievable story, but it's true. Now, the big subject at hand for our show today will be the World Junior Championships. They get underway Boxing Day. Canada and Russia appear to be the co-favorites based on the people I'm talking to. We'll be asking all of our guests today for their input about, you know, who's going to win the gold, silver, and bronze, and that'll be interesting to keep track of. But the people I've talked to previously to the show, they all tell me Russia is a team to watch. Also, Canada all the time. The USA, Finns apparently are strong, and the Swedes looked pretty good last night against Team Canada here at Rexall Place. Oiler fans can see four different defensemen playing in the tournament over the next couple of weeks that the Oilers have the rights to. Oscar Klefbom played well by my eye last night. Also, there'll be David Musil, skate for the Czechs, Martin Marinson, and Martin Gernat representing Slovakia. So, a full show, lots to talk about. We invite your input, as always. You can email us at nationradio at theteam1260.com. Plus, we're on Twitter at itsnationradio and lowtide underscore as well. 6 minutes after the hour, Mark Majot is our producer today. Mark, how are you this afternoon?
Great. How are you, man?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
You got all your shopping done?
I did. Last minute, of course.
You're a guy.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm leaving here to go to a convenience store to buy the big gift for my wife.
Oh,
so,
yeah?
You know. Not really, but, you know, I've done that a time or
two. She's going to love that map of St. Albert, hey?
I'm telling you. You know, I married way better than she did. There's no doubt. Your Jets are on TV. How are they doing?
They're up 7-3 right now, and the New York Giants have been held to 5 yards on the ground. So, great Jets defense so far.
Yeah, except for that one tackle where the tight end had got about another 11 yards or something. But the Jets are doing my Eagles a big favor if they could just
they are
win today. So Corey Prodman joins us now on the show. Corey, of course, from Hockey Prospectus and a well-known individual with regard to the draft and the World Juniors. Corey, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, Alan. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem at all. We're glad to have you on, and we've got a lot of questions to ask you, so let's get to it. I've talked to a few people about the World Juniors, and there's a lot of, and I think it's based on Canada's depth and quality, but there's a lot of inconsistency about this answer. So here's the question. Give me your answer. Who do you think is the favorite going in to this year's World Juniors?
I have to say Canada, but I would say they would be probably a slight favorite over Russia and the United States. But the thing is, always making these predictions for the World Juniors is, hockey is not an event that's based that you can really judge one game samples off of, and that's basically what the World Juniors is. It's a single elimination tournament when you get to the medal round. So, I mean, I would say the talent difference between Canada, U.S., and Russia is marginal, and that's more or less enough to say it could be any of those three who could win. But if I had to make an odds-on favorite, it would be Canada.
Among that group, I would think that the USA has the strongest goaltending, and in a short tournament like this, in a one-off win kind of situation, that does give a slight advantage to the USA, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. In fact, as Jack Campbell has been tremendous in international competition, although just barely average in the Ontario Hockey League. And in the past World Juniors, he's played very well. I'm a little skeptical if he's going to continue doing that just based on how he has been doing in the Ontario Hockey League the last 2 years. But in terms of goaltending, between those three top teams, I would have to say, yes, the USA has a clear advantage.
So now let's start with Canada, and we'll walk through all of the high-end teams. I look at the Canadian team last night, obviously, a pre-tournament game against Sweden, and there were some, you know, there were some things like the goaltending and not just the goaltending. Coverage was a problem, and I thought the mobility of the defenseman was not suspect, but less than it could have been had the others been chosen. Do you think that the way the team has been set up, there's a chance that if it doesn't go well, that Kevin Prendergast and Don Hay will be open to some criticism based on the selection?
Oh, absolutely. And to be honest, I have talked to a couple of people within the NHL industry who did question a couple of picks they made, especially in regards to the goaltending, whether it was not even inviting Calvin Picard to camp or was making Scott Wedgwood the backup. There were some questionable calls there. And I know there's already some criticism of Mark Vizintin being the starter. He's just barely, not even stopping 90% of the shots in the OHL right now. Obviously, he had that meltdown, the gold medal game last year, and there are some, basically, there are a lot of criticisms within the industry about him, and I don't think he was probably the most ideal choice for the goaltending, but I don't think it was an absolutely horrible choice either. At all, I don't think, in terms of goalies, there probably were some slightly better picks. But again, in a short sample tournament, when you account for randomness and the fact that goalies play basically varies really randomly over 4 to 5 games, I don't think we'll be able to tell if the choice is bad or not, just because anybody could play at any rate in 4 to 5 games.
When I was looking at Team Canada, I really felt a very important player would be Mark Scheifele, because up the middle, Team Canada needs a big, strong centerman. That's always been the key to Team Canada, at least in you know, recent years, over the last, say, decade. Scheifele appears to be playing somewhat lesser role than maybe we thought he would.
Yeah, and be honest, again, he's an 18-year-old in a 19-year-old event, and he really isn't a high-end player like Huberto or Jaden Schwartz. And I think if you're hoping that he's going to carry the team, I think you might be a little underwhelmed by what he's going to bring. I don't think he would be there next year, because I think the Jets are obviously likely going to bring him up. But I think if he was going to be there next year, he likely would just be a little bit better. It's very hard for 18-year-olds, unless they're just amazing talents, to be very effective in this tournament. That's why I think you're going to be seeing Brett Connolly, Jaden Schwartz, and Jonathan Huberdeau again, because he's a little more of a higher-end guy than Scheifele. Be the guys who are a little more a bit of the go-to options than Scheifele is.
The guys that you just mentioned there, Schwartz and Huberdeau, along with Connolly, they're going to be a big part of the offense. This kid, Mark Stone, has amazing hands.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a very underrated player, and I think he's going to be a nice little X factor for Canada going. He was drafted in the 6th round 2010 just because he was a really poor skater then. He got hurt and really didn't show the really high-end upside he's showing right now. But those who have seen him in Brandon and have talked to just come away praising his hockey sense, his puck skills, his ability to do things around the net. I mean, this guy can score and set up plays in bunches, and he's going to be a real nice player for Canada at the tournament.
Ryan Murray is a guy who is that most rare thing. He's a draft-eligible Canadian defenseman who's expected to play quite a bit. Is this guy the sort of defenseman that Oilers fans might look at because he's got a wide range of skills as a possible, you know, draft option should they end up in the top five or so this coming summer?
Oh, absolutely. He's a top five talent. And I think within the industry right now, he's the number one or two defenseman in this draft, either between him or Matt Dumba. And he's the kind of guy who you'll see when the tournament is. He's just so advanced in terms of his game processing ability, so smart out there, really just thinks the game well beyond what an 18-year-old does. And obviously he's a skilled skater and puck handler and all that stuff. But if he's there in the top five, I don't think there's many people within the industry who would have any quibbles with taking him.
Let's move on and talk about the Russians next. And the first item on the agenda when talking about the Russians are those two draft-eligible forwards. Tell me about them and what you like about them.
Well, we'll start with Yakupov, who, Nail Yakupov, is the consensus number one pick going into the 2012 draft. And the guy is just a tremendous skater, so agile, so quick, has a really elite-level shot, great puck skills, pretty energetic and physical, even though he's a smaller guy, and really has the ability to take over games. He led the OHL in scoring last year as a pre-draft player who was a late birth date, and is, again, doing great things in the OHL this year. And probably between him and Mikhail Grigorenko, which is the other player you mentioned, mm-hmm. he's probably the most dynamic and exciting player. Now, Grigorenko, on the other hand, is a guy who has been steadily going up draft boards. I know there were some going into this year in the industry that thought he had a chance to go number one, and I think right now it's close between him and Yakupov. And he's more of a really smart possession-type player, great hockey sense, great puck skills, able to slow the play down and really control things around him. The knock on him this year has been the fact that his work ethic in game kind of comes and goes. But when he's on, I think his skill level actually rises above Yakupov. But there's just that consistency question that some people have with him within the industry.
What does the rest of their team look like? The Russians often send off high-end offensive players, but don't have a lot of blue line and goaltending help. Is this team more evenly developed?
And actually, I would say it's even more extremely developed in terms of that definition you just said. Their forward group is one of the best I've seen come over in quite a few years. Mm-hmm. When you talk about Nail Yakupov and Mikhail Grigorenko, who are actually both going to be likely top six scoring options for them. Then they're going to have a Capitals first rounder of Evgeny Kuznetsov, who played great this tournament last year. Nikita Gusev, who has been undrafted twice, but is really up there with that kind of skill level in terms of the players I just mentioned. Those who saw him play in the Super Series, especially on a line with Nikita Kucherov, Mikhail Grigorenko saw, he can play at a very high-end level. It's going to be a top scorer for them at this tournament. Kucherov, who I just mentioned, is a Tampa Bay second-round pick who set a scoring record at the World Under-18s last year. So, I mean, I'm not talking about Alexander Holkhachev and a whole bunch of other guys who are on this team. There's a lot of skill for Russia. Now, on defense, they're very lacking. The number one defenseman, the guy who's supposed to be the number one defenseman for the tournament, a Red Wings draft pick, Alexei Marchenko, is out for the tournament due to season-ending knee surgery. So they're very light back there. I think Sakar Arzamatsev, the guy who went undrafted last year, is likely going to be their top defenseman. And they really, the way they're going to basically have to beat Canada or the U.S. is through 7-5 games. That's basically how it's going to work.
You know, it's so funny because, you know, when I was young and as a kid, especially the 72 series, 75, you know, and you mentioned Gusev, who is a very famous name in Russian, you know, hockey history. What's happened to that nation in terms of defensemen? They just don't seem to be developing those really good defensemen like they used to.
Well, the fact is, over in Russia, they put an emphasis on individual skills, fundamentals, and all that stuff, and they don't really make a high-end emphasis in terms of the physical game and all the things that you need to be as a defenseman to play North America. So they basically put an emphasis on skills and doing things with the puck, moving the puck around, making things happen. And then their most talented players, when they start developing those skills, they just push them up the forward.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't really make an emphasis on developing the kind of fundamentals that are required to play a good North American defenseman game.
Okay. That makes sense. Now let's move on to the Americans. What I noticed first when I look at their roster is there's so many returning talents.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jason Zucker is going to be his third year. Jack Campbell will be his third year. Then you're going to have Edom up there. And, well, Bukestad's hurt right now, but he should be coming back. Coyle as well. I mean, the U.S. has a legitimate shot, obviously, to win the championship. And the experience is definitely going to help.
And the Swedish team, what I noticed last night was I knew that they had a strong defense because I'm aware of Klefbom, so I've been kind of following their defense. Their goaltending was better than I thought, and they have a lot of size and more grit than I thought up front, along with the skill.
Well, again, Johan Gustafsson, I think, has a chance to actually be the goalie of the tournament. He's a very talented netminder, a Minnesota Wild draft pick, and I think he's a pretty underrated name who can get a little bit of exposure over here. The problem I have with Sweden is a lot of their best players, you think of Brodin and Klefbom on Forge, are going to have guys like Zibanejad, Forsberg, Aberg, and this is not including guys like Johan Sundström and Johan Larsson. Fact is, there's not a lot of great 19-year-olds on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to win the World Juniors without a lot of really good 19-year-olds. A lot of their best talents are just a little bit underage. Now, it's still possible they can put up a good front in terms of competing with Canada and Russia and the like. But I have, again, that experience factor is usually very critical in this kind of talent environment. That's why I'm a little skeptical if Sweden can go the distance.
The other team that I looked at as a possible, you know, medal team was Finland, just because of that one big line they have and all the talent they have up front. Is this a team that people should be aware of as well?
I think they're right up there in terms of the top five. I think in terms of talent level, I think they're more or less the same with Sweden. I don't think I would put them in the top three with Canada, Russia, and the U.S., but definitely can give them a push. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was an upset from them. You mentioned the top three line, which is Michael and Marcus Granlund, the brothers, and Joel Armia. Michael Granlund right now is doing things unprecedented over in Finland, leading their top men's league in scoring, or was before he came over, which for 19-year-olds, I don't believe that's happened before. And in my opinion, he's right now, in terms of drafted prospects, he's the best player right now outside the NHL.
Okay.
But actually, beyond that first line, the Mika Salomaki, Yuna Donskoy, and I forgot who the third player on that line was, it's not coming to me, is also a pretty good line as well. But the fact is with Finland is they are really lacking on defense. They simply do not have a defense that can compete at the World Juniors. So they definitely have a scoring talent, and they're going to possess the puck a lot and do some nice things in the offensive zone. But when the play comes the other way, I think they're going to struggle a little bit.
Okay, real quick ones here. Who are you picking to win gold, silver, and bronze? Just give me a quick rundown, if you would.
Gold, Canada, silver, Russia, bronze, U.S.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to keep track of these. Also, the Oilers have four defenders in the tournament, Klefbom, Marinson, Gernat, Musil. Which of those prospects do you feel is the better long-term prospect?
I would have to say Musil. I'm a pretty big David Musil fan. That's not to take away from Clefbaum. Clefbaum, I mean, as you've probably seen, is a very talented, very toolsy player.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like, in terms of ball possession skills, I like Musial better. In my opinion, the smart defenseman, the good puck-moving defenseman, those are the guys who excel in today's NHL. And those are the guys that put up the possession numbers that analysts like to see. And I think that's where Musial excels, and I really like him. I didn't like how far he fell last year. I thought he could have gone probably in the first round of the lower part.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's the best one out of that group.
With Corey Pronman from Hockey Prospectus, one final one. This comes in from Mike Modano's dog. He said he was at the Canada-Sweden game last night, had to admit he's concerned about the ability of Mark Vizintin to hold up than ever before. He says, can Canada use a pulled groin injury excuse to exchange him for Tyler Bunns on an emergency basis? Did Vizintin play that poorly last night? Is that an option, or do you think they'll start the game against Finland with Vizintin in net?
Don Hay has already said they're going to go with Vizintin as number one. I don't doubt that. Again, one game, nobody draws conclusions off that. At least I hope they don't. And he'll be there. I think he'll be on a tight leash. But I also don't think Scott Wedgwood is all that great either, if that's who they're relying on.
Okay, sounds good. Corey, thanks so much for this. And we really appreciate your input. And we're going to have you on many times as we get towards draft day.
All right, thank you very much, Alan. Have a good holiday.
All right, you too. Merry Christmas. Corey Pronman from Hockey's Prospectus, one of the folks we're talking to today about the World Junior Championships and exactly what's going on there. He's also an ESPN insider as well, and obviously very learned. Ripped off some names there I haven't heard. That's the great thing about the World Juniors this year. There's some 2012s in there that we should be paying attention to. A couple on Team Canada. If you go to Hockey Prospectus website and look up Corey's latest article, World Junior Hockey Championship Team Canada, he spends a couple of minutes highlighting Tanner Pearson from the Barrie Colts and Ryan Murray from the Everett Silvertips of the WHL, two draft eligibles for 2012, and they're continuing that series throughout the next few days. So check it out with Corey, and stay tuned because we have Kent Wilson coming up next from Flames Nation talking about Jerome Iginla and his getting close to 500 career goals. This is Nation Radio presented by Edmonton Motors.